the same boys we used to be. It's live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host, editor, and writer of said newsletter. We are coming to you after the NFL draft. It's our draft wrap-up. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation. Before I get to that, I should mention you can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. Now I can get to our fatal four-way formation with the usual crew, leading off with Dr. Viral. He's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
So I came up with this character.
Okay.
So it's a guy who treats his balls like they were boobs. So he shows his balls to get out of speeding tickets, or like he'll say to his wife, if you help me get this glass off the shelf, I'll show you my balls.
Is that on WBCW?
No, that's just a guy.
Oh, that's just a guy. Okay.
Yeah.
This is kind of similar to a Brian Posehn bit where he's talking about, like, you know, and grew up in the 80s and he liked the bottom tit look with the half shirt, but you can't really do that with the bottom nut or a little bit of dick neck. Male cleavage.
Speaking of dick neck, he's working the ones and twos for us tonight, and you've just heard his dulcet tones. He is also Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And last but not least, we don't know how he feels about dick neck, and we're not going to find out.
Dick Neck was a pitching coach for the Cubs in the
He was indeed. He was the one who like wore the belt real high, like halfway over his belly.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, gotta get through the particulars here. He is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park. You cannot find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It is Fifth Feather John.
Sam, hello.
Houston, hello. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Let me tell you, folks, he's pumped for this episode tonight. He is ready to get to it.
All right, there's one of us.
Yeah.
I was wondering if this was the next chapter of Todd Warrior's career that Andrew was teasing here, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like this is a different guy.
I mean, Todd Warrior will take his balls out for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would just be a guy.
This is just a guy. Who does design your wrestlers for WBCW?
We have actually Ryan Lambert does a couple.
And okay.
Bob, the big man, he'll do a few. He's done
McVanderhuge.
That's right. But then a lot of them I actually do.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
I didn't know you were into that.
It's just it's easier than outsourcing.
Okay.
Graphic design is also his passion.
Well, I'll ask you. I'll get inside baseball with you privately. I don't want to bore our listeners with that. I was just curious.
Of course.
Anyway, we're going to lead off with the Bears draft, and Slack is going to spend the next few minutes telling you why you're stupid and wrong about it.
Well, this is what I've been dying to know.
I've
been dying to know Andrew's draft thoughts because he didn't give us anything. All he told us was he's sick of the mocks. Sick of the mocks, damn it.
Sick of mocks. I like mocks.
He's great wrestler. Never sick of mocks.
No.
He was also awfully quiet on the real show during the actual draft.
Sure. I didn't think there was anything to get overly excited about, but I thought it was.
I think that's. I'm guessing that's part of why you're going to tell everyone they're stupid for getting excited.
I think the Bears are telling you very clearly that they didn't like any of the edges that were available to them, and they didn't feel like it was worth trading up to get one. And so they drafted who they thought was the best player. And nobody wants to give them a single benefit of the doubt because, you know, they're still the Bears. That's all it comes down to. I read John Greenberg's smarmy-ass fucking column today.
Why would you do that?
I was taking a shit, and that's what came up. So, you know, right. I find it funny that there's genuinely a decent number of people who are not just, like, questioning it but pissed off. About guys that literally haven't played a practice snap yet. It's nuts.
It's really weird.
It's so stupid.
It's really weird. And it's not like the Bears told you what they thought on day one. When they had their pick of all the guys, they chose Oregon Mangum. Oregon Mangum.
They chose Oregon white Mangum. Safety.
Yes. That is white. That tells you everything you need to know.
Our
That's
safety
who they
is
think
a
the
white.
Best player is. That's who they think the best player is. That's they also had a need there. If they didn't draft him there and say they took
one sack,
or if they took TJ Parker,
Jones,
or Caden McDonald, then everybody would say, how did you pass on the safety? And now you have this hole at safety. And
well, and then, you know, genius Mr. Greenberg in the same column, he said, well, then they could have drafted one of those guys that John just mentioned in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And then their second pick was the center. And the guy picked after the center was the second safety that everybody was talking about. Do you think there's a reason that the other safety dropped a full round, you fucking moron?
Right.
One of them is significantly better.
I want to talk about two infamous.
What are you talking about?
Right.
They're not the same guy.
Awful. So stupid. Oh, and by the way, do we remember the last time the Bears had a second round safety that became a starter?
Tony Parrish.
Chris Conte.
Daniel Manning.
Oh, God.
And this is actually one of the things I wanted to get
was
to.
Wasn't Jaquan a third rounder?
To help with Sam's Spilkes, was that the two of the more infamous plays in Bears history, or infamous plays, I should say, in recent Bears history, one being that Super Bowl play action where Daniel Manning got completely faked out. By the way, the Bears had the best pass rush in the league that year, and it didn't matter on that play because the safety didn't know how to cover
game because Tommy was hurt.
Right. Well, nevertheless, it the safety screwed up the coverage on that play, and that was basically the beginning of the end.
Tank Johnson running into Jeff Saturday's creamy noogie.
Then you had in 2013, you had the Aaron Rodgers 4th-and-8, which Julius Peppers couldn't get to Rodgers, and guess who blew the coverage on that? The white safety.
So I'm supposed to feel better about the new white safety?
No, I'm supposed to say that even when the Bears had a really good pass rush, it still didn't matter if the safety couldn't cover somebody.
Because he was
so
white.
You got the, right. Well, if you have the safety to cover somebody now, then maybe you can get the not worry about your pass rush. It's just silly to say, well, if they would have drafted a pass rusher and it's more valuable than having a safety. Well, clearly it wasn't in those two instances where the Bears were – the downfall was their safety or lack of on those plays. So I just think it's kind of ridiculous to, like, and Andrew mentioned the Greenberg column, which is to just basically say that, you know, well, they should have solidified their pass rush with a guy who was going to be a fringe rotational player and maybe turn into something in years 2 or 3, as opposed to the guy who everybody says is going to be a starter from day one and who was projected to go as high as 12, was available for you at 25.
Basically, it seems like only one actual edge guy was worth it, Reuben Bain, right? And like more than likely, you couldn't trade up to get him.
Right. Well,
and
the
you,
cost
you
to
might
trade
be
up.
Able to use Reese as an edge guy, but he went 5th. You couldn't get up there.
Yeah. And
he's high. A gadget. He's a toy. He's a really good toy, but, you know. I'm sure.
Why would you trade that high up? That's just now that wasn't.
Well, you couldn't have. Well, you didn't have enough to do it.
And if you did, you wouldn't want to anyway.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I agree with the two of you, mostly. But I do, I'm endlessly entertained.
Well, listen.
And I chuckle. You could be. In less than 10 months, we have gone from 0-17 to Bears exceptionalism.
No, it's more, I don't like people complaining. So I'm just taking the other
unless
side.
You're complaining.
About the people complaining.
Okay. Like, you understand where I'm coming from.
Here's what I think John
9 months ago it was 0-17. Forget it. It's
well,
over.
Well, tune in to our big show and you'll find out if that bit
to our two big shows.
Both shows. Both bits.
Shows. But only those shows. You don't have to tune in any other time.
So I think John agrees with me on this other option or this other takeaway from the draft, which was look how amazing all these teams did. The Jets and the Giants, the worst teams in the league because they had the most picks and the highest up. Like the Bears have a low pick because they're fucking good now. Is that bad somehow? Like, would you, I swear to God, there's a group of fans who just want to live in prospect perversion forever. They don't care about what happens.
That's why Kyle's so popular.
They don't care what happens, you know, postseason, none of that matters. It's all about the draft and the prospects and who could be something before they realize that most of these guys are nothing.
Correct. And I would say with the Jets, why are you excited about, as a Jets fan, how can you be excited about anything? Because the people in charge, how do you have any trust in them whatsoever? I would say for the Giants, you have a slight benefit of the doubt with John Harbaugh taking over, that maybe there's, you know, this guy knows what he's doing and knows where to put these guys in a position to be successful. Yeah. With the Jets, I don't care who you drafted, they're 95% of them are going to suck. Because they're going to be in a toxic environment, a shitty culture, shitty coaches,
shitty quarterback.
Yep. What? Yeah. To me, that it would be really. I don't. Being a Jets fan would feel like being a White Sox fan. Like you can't get me to care about anything at this point.
I think that's probably a pretty good comparison.
The Giants with Harbaugh, and you could also argue like if, and this is a huge if, obviously, because they're not going to be. But if they were healthy. They have a fun offense potentially. Like you've seen stuff where you're like, okay, that's watchable. If you're a Giants fan, whereas the Jets have nothing.
No,
and they hired a defensive coach who can't get turnovers.
Right, and a moron coach. Yep.
It's like what are you excited about?
A moron coach who should have been fired last year, in his first season, but somehow weaseled his way out of it.
No clue.
Was it the Greenberg column who pinned the Lions' lack of drafting a pass rusher on Ben Johnson, who was the offensive coordinator?
No, that was Biggs.
That was Biggs.
Yeah. No, he was just he didn't pin it on Ben Johnson. It was a comparison that he noticed. Yeah. And he didn't say, and he even admitted like the Ben wasn't in the, he doubted Ben had much sway in the draft room as an OC.
Then why are you writing about it?
Just that there's the coincidence and that's the philosophy that Ben grew up in, or that was that he was cultivated in, and so that is what he's doing here, I think.
I'm with you fellers. You can't force what isn't there, and you know we know enough about a draft. No one knows if any of these people are going to be any good.
To that end, like, by the way, speaking of quick production work. Last year, of the all-rookie team for the offensive linemen, everyone except the center was taken within the top 15 picks. Both guards, both tackles. So that's what you're saying. If it's not there, like, you're going to have to move up, and that was the most glaring need, and or the edge rushers, and those were two top 10 picks.
But if you get to your first pick, and you're like, well, we've got – this safety has fallen. We had him going, let's say, 10 to 15. Yep. Or even 15 to 20.
The Vikings all these edge guys, it up, ironically.
All these edge guys just, you know, they don't get, you know, peckers hard. Well, then that's an easy decision. And then polls basically told you, like, yeah, we looked at moving up, but the prices were pretty ridiculous for the guys we would have gotten. So I don't need him forcing stuff to make a deal just to make a deal.
Right. That's what Ryan Pace would do.
Right.
He would fall in love with a mid-round pick that he would have to trade like three other picks to get. And then he would tie up everything in that guy. And then he would suck. And then everybody would look around and say, how come the Bears don't have depth at these other positions? And it would be because, well, we traded three third round picks to acquire Anthony Miller, who can't get on the field.
Oh right. God. Jesus. Bad memories.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea what this draft class is going to look like come week 6 or week 12 or,
yeah, but if whatever, you flipped it and they took one of these ends that nobody's excited about in the first round, and then the second round, let's say they take the other white safety, I mean, it's not the same. Now you've got a kind of like two guys who are average, potentially, versus literally, potentially, and I'm not saying this is a guarantee, a starting safety, which you probably would barely have if you didn't draft him. Like Thieneman is going to play, and he's allegedly a great fit for what they're trying to do with all these disguised coverages. So you've got a day one starter in the first round, in the late first round. So even if he's not good, obviously that's different, but he's going to start most likely.
I think it's pretty safe. He'll be serviceable. I mean, I don't think anyone's saying, oh, this guy's going to bust. Yeah. Although if he does, everyone will come out and say, I knew it.
Well, I mean, obviously there's always just, he could just get hurt.
Right.
A defensive end is just like the other thing too, is like a defensive end is so under the microscope during every game, looking at their numbers, pressures, all that shit. How many snaps did they get? And that kind of guy getting drafted at 25, you're just setting him up to be hated by the fan base, honestly, because you paid Dio $100 billion to do nothing, and he's motivated. So, look at how that turns out. You just put any kind of spotlight on these edge rushers versus Artie Bucco, who's like a fourth round pick, underage, gave him multiple years to get his shit together, and then finally he shows up healthy, and he's pretty effective. So
yeah, I mean, I will say the one caution, because they came out and everyone's like, well, we've got Dio and we've got Shamar, and
they really seem to like, they think Shamar can do something.
Yeah, but they kind of conveniently, both these guys are coming off major leg injuries, and it's if they're going to get back to full strength, then who knows what full strength Dio looks like? I don't even know what that is.
I think we saw it.
You're right. That might not be till 2027. I mean, it could work. You're not asking any of them to, be Lawrence Taylor 87. But
I am.
You are, Matt is. But yeah, I don't know. It's always convenient. Well, they really believe these guys. Okay, that's great. They together they have two legs.
And
anyway, yeah, I mean, and you throw another average guy in the mix. I don't know. What does that do for anybody? It's a body. You could get one of those, anywhere.
I understand a little bit of the Spilkis when you're taking a third tight end, right, ahead of other things, because people just aren't used to that. That like they're gonna run a lot of three
tight
end.
Yeah, but guess what
sets.
They're used to?
Yep. Losing
dog shit.
Yeah,
and losing.
Right.
Right.
And now we've seen like some success, and we're like, well, the guy who brought a success is a moron now, and actually doesn't know what he's talking about. So that's good.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with them picking the center if they think, this guy's going to take the position he's going to be our guy.
It's another guy who's probably going to start, or at least if he doesn't, he'll start the year after. Like the Bradbury trade was very much a stopgap.
I mean, everyone gets hurt. He'll probably get some starts.
And how many times have they had a two-center roster? It feels like
they've
had a center and
someone,
then they just
right?
move some asshole from guard.
Apparently the scouting report, the report on the kid is that he's a center and he only plays center.
Correct. And he's like 25.
Overager.
Yeah, which is great for a center.
For a center, yeah. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Right.
I don't want a child at center. Are you kidding me?
So
that's a man's position.
Maybe he's the guy who like they get those stories
you
in camp.
Even,
like, hey,
you
this...
couldn't even get that out without cracking yourself.
Yeah, maybe he's the guy that gets the stories in camp. Like, oh, he's gobbling it up faster than we thought he would. He might actually,
Yeah.
Absolutely, Sam.
Yes.
That I with their first two picks, they got two guys who couldn't start for them. I mean, how many other teams can say that we're picking as late as the Bears?
Very successful, yeah. And then anything else is gravy for the most part. I mean, this quarterback seems like he might be decent.
Good vibes on the corner, good vibes on the wide receiver. The tight end, I have zero issue with. I mean, the Poles and Ben Johnson have been very clear in terms of their draft strategy of the guys that they're going after. They want guys who are just football
lunatics.
Psychos.
Yes.
And that's who they're going after. So there's no like, in years past when they would draft guys and it'd be like, well, Kieran Amagaje, he's never played football in his life, but my God, look at his wingspan. And, 3 years later, and you can't even find the guy at Hallis Hall.
Right.
They're taking guys that want to play, that want to be great. And that tight end, I have zero issue with that because that's the offense that Ben wants to run. And Durham Smythe was a veteran. You might as well get a guy in here to learn your system as a rookie. I would rather do that than sign somebody off the scrap heap and we're looking around in week 8 and, ripping our hair out because they're throwing.
Hair, John.
Yeah, well, ripping our hats off.
Okay.
Because
he didn't specify on his head.
In a gotta have it situation, they're throwing to, Desmond Clark or whoever the hell.
Right.
Veteran tight end they would find
I'll
off the scrap heap.
No Desmond Clark besmirching here.
Well, I couldn't think of the other their backup at the with that team. But anyways, so yeah, I didn't mind the backup the third tight end and that, especially as a guy that projects as a really good blocking tight end. because again, that fortifies your running game and offensive line.
Yeah.
And especially if you have burners now in Burden and it was Taylor, right? The guy from LSU that they got.
Xavier Thomas.
It's Thomas. You know, those you have these speed guys now on the outside that you've never really had on this Bears team. So now you're
also
talking
have
about
Raymond is a really good is fast. And he played some three for Detroit.
There you go. I mean, it's
they've got a ton of essentially like explosive options, and that's all Ben cares about is explosives. So you got Raymond who can do all kinds of gadgety shit. Obviously, Thomas can do a little bit of everything. He probably, and I'm going to tell everybody this to be ready, he probably can't fucking catch the ball. Like, he's probably going to drop everything. So they're going to have to figure out something else. But
he might get you return yards.
If he can
catch
that
ball. And that's like kind of all they want him to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he said from the beginning. He doesn't care about tush-push and shit like that. He wants 20-yard plays. So he's going to find as many guys as he can to get them 20-yard plays. And now they have a ton of guys who can do that. You got two good running backs. Your line is pretty much good to go, except I think left tackle is obviously still a concern. But as Matt pointed out, you don't get a left tackle unless he's in the top 10 pick, essentially.
Or you pay him $30 million.
And they don't come around that often. So, I mean, sometimes you got to work with what you have. I mean, there's a lot of other pieces that I think are pretty good.
I don't get worked up about the left tackle like some others do. They're in a very odd, sticky situation with that because they have a guy they really like, but they don't know what he's going to be and when.
Right.
But, you know, like, okay, what if they draft one and then Ozzie's healthy? Well, now, you know, you can't just have these guys, oh, well, they'll just be depth pieces. It doesn't work like that. Because you're going to pay Darnell. You know, you're not going to just let him walk.
A fuck ton, yes. You're paying him a lot.
He's getting paid a lot of money.
So, you know, if, you know, people, I know Braxton isn't like a legend or anything, but it's not like he embarrasses himself out there.
Well, like he didn't get a chance to play in this offense. He was hurt.
Right.
And this offense makes lines look much better than maybe they are.
He didn't get coached up by Dan Rashard.
He didn't get coached up.
Yes. Sure. Dan Rashard is his name. That's what we talked about with the previous administration. Was that the offense and the quarterback were basically making the line look 500 times worse than they actually are. And every year it seemed like the Packers had a great offensive line. There's no way they had five amazing offensive linemen at the same time constantly. They had a quarterback who made everybody look good.
You want real copium, just listen to Packers fans these days.
And the Bears have that now, which is cool. So,
yeah, that Packers draft was, I mean, you want to bitch about something. I mean,
right. if you need to see what bitching about something genuine looks like.
Correct.
There you go.
Well, Matthew Golden is now going to be a number one writer. Is he the number one receiver now? Is that right?
No, I think Jaden Reed is because they just paid him. Yeah.
Naperville's own Jason, mm-hmm. Jalen Reed. Yeah, for sure. That's a formidable duo. Jalen Reed and Matthew Golden. I think people should be terrified.
Yep.
That's scary. Mm-hmm. Scary stuff. I guess Watson's still there. He's probably on his fifth ACL surgery or whatever.
Right. He's there for the six games that he plays.
Right. Very good.
No, I think all in all, it was a good draft, especially when you look at the NFC North, other NFC North teams, their drafts weren't. I mean, the Vikings, I don't know what the hell they were doing.
I mean, that was considered the biggest reach by far.
Correct.
The Caleb Banks pick was what let the Bears get Thieneman in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, and then the rest of the way, it just seemed like they were just drafting big boys. So congratulations on having a bunch of Andrew Billings.
Big Bob.
They're living in the past.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, I wanted to mention, because people keep mentioning the Bears' defensive line and how it's not improving. I would say it's improving simply by the fact that Andrew Billings is not going to be in the middle huffing and puffing trying to catch guys. I mean, even these journeyman guys that they picked up as rotational pieces are going to be able to close the gap on guys better than Andrew Billings did. And that was one of the biggest problems that their defense had last year, is that you saw Billings in the trail technique every time. As a defensive lineman, that's not good, Sam.
No, that's not where you want to be.
So
I'm not expecting my defensive lineman to haul anyone down from behind.
I think simply by him getting him off the roster and getting more speed everywhere is going to make their defense better than it was last year. And the Vikings seem to do the opposite, and including drafting guys with broken feet, which is, you know, a sound strategy.
I always like it.
Mm-hmm. And then the Packers, obviously, they drafted well, first of all, they had no first-round pick. And then the rest of the way in, they it seemed like they were just drafting backups. Nobody that – and special teams players. So fine way to use your draft. And then the Lions, I thought the Lions had a – seems like they've had a decent draft. They were trying to, similar in the Bears vein, draft some just football guys, guys with two.
It's a good thing for a football draft to have.
Mm-hmm. A lot of attitude they drafted. So I'm sure it'll be fine. Hey, your team rules.
It could be.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know how as a Bears fan you could look at that draft and feel really anything other than, okay, you know,
yep.
Okay, great. There's nothing, if you're getting mad about shit, like Andrew said, you're just looking for reasons to be mad.
And to be fair, that's usually the state of Bears fandom.
Correct. But
it's a bit of an adjustment to not have to do that.
Yeah, I maybe that's what it is. People are adjusting. You don't have to do that. I mean, I think some of it too is people just still don't trust polls because he was drafting in his draft record for the first 3 years. But again, look at the coach that he had in charge of the players that he was drafting and probably the guy in the room. I mean, you know, I can't even imagine what the draft room was like with Eberflus. He was probably just saying, oh yeah, take that guy. He's great. I got a good nickname for him. You know,
was he even in the room?
Well, it was a great question. He could have been like Mike McCarthy. They didn't let him in the room.
They didn't let him in the room.
We're not paying an off-the-ball linebacker, Dad.
Still so bad. I need to get over it, but, you know, one day.
Yep.
All right, well, there are your draft thoughts.
I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm ready for this next season. I feel bad saying that because we have the whole summer ahead of us, but I'm very, very excited.
You called them the light.
About football, yeah.
well, just to give people scheduling our Bears schedule is that we'll do the second best show of the year in 2-3 weeks, whenever the schedule release is announced.
Well, yeah, they are very secretive about it, but yep. I guess Andrew's people have told him that it'll probably be mid-May.
Well, they have to import your hamsters.
Mm-hmm.
To get the computer going that makes the
okay.
schedule.
Okay.
And then they crop that out mid-May. Then we do the second best show of the year. And then the Bears go back in the box. No, we don't have mini camp and voluntary workouts, OTA thoughts.
No. We make fun of any OTA thoughts.
And then, you know, July rolls around and John and Slack swear about all the beat writers for a good month and a half.
Yes. When we're keeping stats on practice.
Yep. Practice throws, and then right after Labor Day, best show of the year. So there you go. That's what you can look forward to, assuming we're all still alive, which these days seems like a big
Well, that's
assumption.
The biggest challenge, I feel like, going into a Bears season now every year is...
Staying alive?
Yeah, I'm trying to survive the summer.
Yeah, it's not easy.
No, it's not.
No.
But, well, you know, White Sox baseball is a little better than it's been.
It is, Effort.
I don't know if that helps you. I don't know.
Well, no, but you know, Andrew tried to get my peppers hot today with the Rock Cholo stuff. And I will not get baited into it.
Slack is just the messenger.
I was surprised to hear that from someone as you know, someone who makes out with Tony La Russa.
I'm not gonna get mad.
Is his name actually Rock Cholo?
Chalowski, I think.
Rock Chalowski. Oh.
Rock?
Yes.
R-O-C-H.
With an
H.
Oh, with an H. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's the consensus number one pick.
Well,
he was until the White Sox started.
Until the White Sox got there.
Well, no. This is what always happens, though. Like, he was the consensus number one pick, and then a lot of people who have tried to make themselves sound smart, beyond just the White Sox, you know, prospect perverts.
The White Sox aren't interested in sounding smart.
No. They're not. There's some kid in Texas, I think he's from around the same area as Bobby Witt Jr., who is supposed to be really good. And so people now are saying, well, he might be better than Rock Cholo.
And don't forget, Boob Nightingale also said, well, you know, Jackson Holliday was sure thing at number one, and he isn't doing much of anything. It's like, okay. So don't draft a guy who's the consensus number one because Jackson Holliday hasn't done anything yet. That's your
again.
That's
this, good, is, this is clearly analysis. Being said with the Tony La Russa's drunk fist up his ass.
Wait, which ass is his fist up?
Doesn't matter.
Bob Nightingale. Okay.
Yeah. Well, is Tony even around White Sox Park anymore these days?
Oh, no, he's phoning in from Arizona.
Who could know?
Right. I doubt he's got much of a voice.
He can't get on a plane?
No. I doubt he's got much of a influence.
He's a Hall of Fame baseball
Well, he doesn't
person.
Have to, because but isn't Reinsdorf down in Arizona, too? Like, yeah, they're right there.
Jerry just is rotting in Boob's the sun. Ear, which is what I would be more concerned about, is that Jerry is the one feeding that to Boob about Rock Cholo, which...
Like, if you're Rock Cholo and you're hearing the White Sox are concerned that you don't want to sign with them or that they won't pay you the money... Like, you can't be feeling good that this is leaking out, whoever leaked
it. Well, I would say to that, this is – you're trying to bait me, and I'm not going to take it.
I'm not.
A normal organization would have lines of communication with that guy.
Can you?
With his people.
Oh, well, you would – I think there are probably ways to do it.
There would be ways around it where you would say, there was an interview on a local station. It might blow up. Don't listen to a word of it. It's not true. None of it is true. Blah, 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 blah. You could, to mitigate that.
Sure. Okay.
But again, that's a normal organization. I don't know that I could say that the White Sox are that. So, again,
it just sounds
I'm not
like to me they're trying to shave off some dollars. Because if he goes number two, right, then he can't ask for whatever he wants.
Yeah, there's a slot, right? You can't.
Right.
Well, you can go above it. But teams only go a certain amount because then they can't draft anybody
if you
else.
Go above, going above the number one slot is not going to be it's going to be higher than going above the number two slot.
Yeah.
So maybe they're putting it out there that we may not take you, your demands or whatever have to come down. I don't know exactly how it works.
But then if you're drafting the high school kid, I mean, his slot is going to be you're going to have to overpay on him because otherwise he can just turn around and go to college.
Right.
So I don't think anyone's going to college over number one pick money.
I don't know.
Unless
I'm just
they didn't
saying,
want to play
I'm
for the
saying,
White Sox.
Well, they would if they didn't like where they were. Yeah,
yeah.
They could.
You're not. How much money are you going to say?
But
how much money are
is
you
he?
Gonna
he's a pitcher too, right?
No, he's no. They're both. Yeah.
They're both.
Rock Cholo is a shortstop.
They're both shortstops.
The Texas guy is a shortstop as well.
Okay. Well, less risk of injury then. But if you go to college, you have to go for 3 years. I don't know. Anything could happen then.
Yeah. Well. And it's baseball. You pick a guy and he genuinely might suck. It's just it's
then no one knows. Shoot.
I know. It's ridiculous.
You could be Jackson Holliday. Maybe Rock Cholo should go to Japan for a year.
I can't believe they said that. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
He was just making shit up. He was just saying stuff. He was less interested in that conversation than
he sounded half asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's half dead.
Or he's half his way down a bottle. Yeah. Blanton's.
It was like they were asking him to talk about the Blackhawks again.
Did he have to talk about the Blackhawks?
No. It's like if you ask us to talk about the Blackhawks, that's how we sound.
I would love to hear Bob Nightingale's opinions on the Blackhawks.
Could it be any different?
Is that John trying
there?
To be Dr. Segway right now?
Yeah. It was a little bit of a segue there, yes.
Oh, pretty good.
Very nice. Well, I only have a quick Blackhawks thought. And then we'll get to some national thoughts that John has. And my only thought, it's real. I don't consider our friend Scott to be just a bullhorn for whatever the Blackhawks want to put out there, but he gets it from somewhere. And he had something in his roster projection or one of those things where they're gonna have Frondell at center when training camp opens. They're gonna have Frondell, Nazar, and the other one, Bedard. They're all gonna play center. He's like, which raises an interesting point because they see Ryan Green as a checking center, but can you really have him on the fourth line? And I'm sitting there going, well, why can't you? Like,
that's
if you're going to get all creative.
That's exactly what he should be. You should
right, if you're
going to
get all creative
it,
and do, oh, we've got
chase.
Three scoring centers. Well, then your checking center's the fourth line center? What's the problem? I just want one original idea. Over there.
That's not even that original.
No.
Alain Vigneault did it 15 years ago.
It's original for them.
It's original for them. Oh God, we can't get so Ryan Green has to skate 15 minutes a night instead of 12. Why?
To me, that is the only logical option to go with if you are as flush with prospects as you say you are.
Right. And they're all going to be, like, pretty raw. So you might as well have three lines of wingers like, just go out there and skate. You know, like, we're not trying to do... God,
certainly not trying to win.
Right. Well, no, exactly. So what does it matter? I know Ryan Green got all puffy-chested. Well, I think I've earned my top six role with your eight goals. You've earned your top six role? Shut the fuck up. You'll skate what you're told.
With your eight goals in 82 games on the worst offense in the league on the 31st best overall team in the league.
Get out of here. I think I've earned my spot. Fuck you. Give me on the top line in Rockford then. Enjoy. Get all the top six burn you need. Anyway, John,
I have one thought on TV ratings that everybody seems to be in shock over.
Okay.
That because there's no New York, there's no Toronto, there's no major market.
LA was around for about 7 minutes.
Not even.
Anaheim is still there.
No one cares about Anaheim.
People seem to be in awe that this year's playoff ratings are higher than ever before in this first round. And to that, I would say, have you ever looked at the ratings year to year? And the one city that has the highest playoff hockey ratings, whether their team is in the playoffs or not?
I believe it's one Buffalo, New York.
Correct, Sam. And what do you know? Buffalo is in the playoffs this year. So,
the entire city is locked in.
Yes, the entire region. All of Western New York?
Western New York.
Yeah, yes. It's completely locked in.
Some of Southeast Ontario.
Exactly. Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth.
But that doesn't count towards United States ratings, but
probably nonetheless. Not. Although maybe they get TNT. I don't fucking know. You know, Detroit gets CBC.
Having spent some work nights in the GTA when the Hawks were on TNT, no, they do not get TNT.
Well, fine. I don't know if that explains it all, but it's a factor, John. And you're right. Even when the Sabres aren't there, Buffalo's always, like, one of the highest rated.
The highest.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you why their ratings are so high. I don't know that I care.
John, I think it's because Buffalo. Yeah, because Buffalo's in it, and they're good.
Also, these days, how many people are actually watching other live television?
I don't know. I can't answer that question for you.
Because you tune in live for sports. But everyone else just streams shit, right?
For the most part.
Yeah.
But I think people are still tuning in, is the point.
To
the live sports.
They're tuning into live sports, but like it's a greater proportion of
they're
people
choosing to watch
TV.
Hockey rather than their streamers or whatever.
So, because NBA, a lot of NBA has been on Amazon.
Yeah.
I think it makes me less interested in putting it on. Because it's
and
not
Peacock.
On the same... It's not on the, that too, because it's not in the same app where all the other sports are, which is YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so like there's two nights a week at least, maybe three, where the NBA is on a separate app.
It's bad. It's so bad. It's unacceptable what's happened to streaming. It sucks. Or TV, I should say. Streaming is what's happened to TV, and it's bad. It's just like. Yeah, I don't know. Just by virtue of it being on TNT and easy to find is.
Or ESPN.
It's a big win for the NHL.
There you go, John.
Yeah, that's all I got.
It's not just Buffalo. It's not just Western New York. It's not just the freaks in Syracuse and Rochester and. There's Ithaca and Liverpool, New York, and there's a Leeds out there. It's a weird place.
Oh, Sam, I want to put your Avalanche thoughts on the record for everyone. What is the total amount of games you said that they're going to play in the West?
13.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one loss.
So four, they're going to lose one to the Wilder Stars.
Okay.
They're going to win that in five games. And then they will kick the shit out of whatever comes out of the Pacific.
Okay.
It's not that I think they're that much better. It's just the Wild Stars are clearly going to seven games. It's probably going to six overtimes. And there just won't be anything left.
There you have it.
That's the, yeah. So either I'm on the record. It will take the Avalanche no more than 13
take
games.
Take that to Kelce, everybody. That is official financial advice from Sam Fels.
I didn't say that. I'm not
I'm
trying to get sued
that.
Here. But yeah. All right, then. Remind me again, America's favorite segment is in the box for the summer.
Yes.
Oh, please,
yep, for mental, to help with our mental health.
Maybe pull it out for the draft.
No.
Or it's, the free agency.
It's fermenting
worse?
Like kimchi.
potentially, yes. Depending on what happens, we will obviously check in around the draft or free agency.
Yeah,
to see if
everything
there's any...
is your team rules.
Right now, they're talking. Everyone's talking about trying to trade for Brady Tkachuk.
Okay.
Of course they are.
Yep.
He'd be a god here. All right, then. Well, I guess it's time for the Cretans.
He really would.
He would. Yeah.
He really would. It's
the perfect place for him. You never have to play a game that matters here.
People would love him.
I only have a couple. One of them was really weird.
Yeah, I've got a couple also.
Yeah, same. Not much.
All right. Mike Jacoby, who gave us this last week. There's a fried chicken place in Omaha we hit over the weekend as part of our annual hockey trip. I got questions about this hockey trip. That has a gimmick where they feed the leftovers to raccoons.
What?
The food is really good, and as a result, the raccoons are enormous. Should I be concerned for the health of these animals or just enjoy the gag? I'm going to guess it's not that much more unhealthy than whatever raccoons are eating anyway.
They eat garbage.
Yeah.
You paid for it. They got it for free.
Yeah, so the joke's on you.
Yeah.
And even if they are unhealthy and might die earlier than you, those raccoons are going to die happy. It's a good life.
Yeah, what's better?
And so will you if you have any proper perspective.
There's raccoon life without that food, and then the raccoon life with.
One of Brian Eusudas of the Flying Eusudas Brothers. Which are our worst crime against humanity, the duck's orange sweaters or the piss yellow penguin sweaters?
Penguins
by far.
Those are the worst uniforms
because
I've ever seen.
Yeah, the penguins actually have good uniforms in their holsters.
Yeah. They
well,
the have
ducks
the
could, too. They could go to eggplant and teal, but,
The ducks are still improving over their previous uniforms, which were also the worst in the league.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm not as mad about the ducks.
Yeah, zero expectations from them.
Right.
Right.
The Ducks' old uniforms were just a hockey representation of a parking lot full of skateboards.
Yeah, yes. They were terrible.
But when they've gone to the retro colors, though, like in the true HD era, they've popped.
I don't. I actually don't think they should go with the eggplant and green, was it?
The teal-ish, aquamarine, whatever you
no,
want to
I mean,
it.
I actually, I don't mind the orange. It's different. It stands out. You know who you're watching
it needs,
as soon as you
it,
turn.
It needs, this needs to be tweaked, though. They need to get some contrasting stuff. I think they need to swap the gloves that they're using with the home and road kits, etc. But
yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, I think that's all I got.
I had a couple. I'll read them quick. They're both hockey related. Well, I guess one of them's not. Corch's D partner off the street asks, you're forced to do a sports segment with Matt Batacola. What do you say that gets you fired, and how fast does it happen after you go live?
No Italians.
Jesus is gay.
What? I would just say, I'm going to punch your fucking face in, Matt Batacola.
Isn't Matt Batacola pretty religious?
He went to Moody Bible. He went to not really, but I know he went to Moody Bible. So
I think he's pretty Jesus-y.
Well, there you go. I like yours then, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Second one is from Greedy McDumdum. Power says Hawks need to bring back an experienced defenseman, and Connor Murphy might be their target.
Oh God!
How many former Hawks should they bring back to make sure they finish last again?
The sound John made. Oh God!
Christopher Steele's not doing anything.
You know what? If they brought back Connor Murphy and traded Louis Crevier, here for it. That's fine.
See, but Connor Murphy really... actually has a choice now. Again, are how big of a loser?
Yeah, he doesn't have to play.
How big of a loser are you, Connor?
Well, maybe we'll find out.
Maybe we'll find out.
That's what I'm saying.
Jeez. We're all out of ideas, and we've tried nothing.
Maybe he can do the Chris Pronger thing. He's like, oh, I got drunk and signed a contract. It doesn't count.
I guess Foligno could not retire. They could bring him back, too.
Oh, that'll happen.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's guaranteed. Player coach.
Because we know he's a loser.
It'd be funny if he ended up coming out like a coach in Minnesota after the season. Because his brother's there and his whole family's there.
So. He's like a coach in Minnesota. But he'll coach here. Minnesota's
actually good. They hire professionals.
He'll be the next guy they force upon whatever coach they hire.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, you can. We won't make it keep Anders and his vacant look, but you have to keep this guy on the bench. And every coach worth his salt will be like, yeah, okay, thanks. I'm going to stay at my college job.
And win another national championship.
Or the other guy is like, no, no thanks. I'm going to sit here and be a sex pest in D.C. and get fired and never get hired again.
Well, now...
Well, you're right. So, that's the level of esteem the Hawks job has. What's on the main feed?
Not a lot. Feldman from across the hall.
We don't say that as a criticism, people. There's just some weeks that come up a little light. That's okay.
Is there anyone better than Jed Hoyer at building a bullpen that absolutely sucks to start the season?
It's pretty good at it, I'll have to admit. You know what, though? I'll give Jed this. He clearly has admitted he doesn't know how to build a bullpen in the offseason. So
kind of no one does.
Kind of no. I mean, the Brewers do. The Yankees used to, you know, like one of their two other teams. But, like, he's like, okay, I don't know. I just rolled out the Yahtzee Cup. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, I'll redo it before the trade deadline. Like, none of this makes sense. I can't figure it out. I'm just going to keep throwing shit at the wall. And that's what you should do. It's a bullpen. No one knows. It's like rounds 3 through 7 of the NFL draft. No one has any idea. So I'll give him credit for knowing what he doesn't know and not trying to hide it.
No thoughts, Andrew?
No. No thoughts.
Andrew refuses to engage in Cubs Corner with Sam.
No, I mean, I think like every year they figure it out. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, it's a bullpen. Like, you can always rebuild it.
Yeah, they're, you know, every when you were younger, I think the story of Neil Kotz and Cliff Polich should say it all, right? Where the fuck did they come from?
Or Bobby Jenks or Shingo.
I mean, really anybody. Look at that fucking Brad Keller asshole.
I'd rather not.
You just find guys, and if they suck, you get them out of there. Bring in a guy who's different and see if he's any good.
You don't have to pay Brad Keller. Would he get $8 million, $12
million? Yeah. It's
he seems to be allergic to paying for velocity anywhere on the pitching staff.
You can find another round man with a round face who's throwing 98 out of nowhere. They just pop up.
It's baseball.
Yeah.
All right, last one that I have here. The armored loincloth. Who would be your top two to replace the Chisholm clown show of locals, Kaylee Chilios and Tony Granato? For me, I think Stu Grimson is number one. And he's
actually,
and they
Tony,
already
Tony's getting national assignments. I don't think actually Tony's all that bad. But you could do better. Stu Grimson's a good shout. I don't really watch much other teams in between period stuff. That's when I go to the bathroom.
Can we have J.M. Lyles be drunk?
Yeah, you can absolutely.
Can they just hire a professional? Like,
right? You could get Eric. Well, Eric Johnson's probably stuck in Denver because that's where he lives. But he's pretty good.
I guess Kaylee Chilios was a professional, but she's still a Nepo baby. So
she's a professional sideline reporter. She was never a professional analyst.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, I like when they used to bring people who were just like trying to come up in the business, and not necessarily just because they were
when Sharp was,
they were staying or know somebody.
Right. Sharp, I didn't even think Burrish was all that bad when he stopped trying to be PK Subban and just actually analyze the game. I thought he was okay. I mean, if they have to have a Hawks connection, I don't know that they do.
They kicked him to the curb, though, didn't they?
They did.
They fired everybody.
Yeah.
And now look at them.
And now look at them. So we get Kaylee Chelios in team gear on her sixth pregnancy or whatever it is.
Go give birth.
Go give birth.
Kid Rock and Rivers Cuomo caught the baby this time.
Was Kid Rock at their wedding?
Yeah.
Probably.
He's huge. He's friends with Papa big time.
That's right, I forgot.
But he's not pumping up the troops.
I don't know. Get out the checkbook.
Hijacking helicopters.
Get out the checkbook and bring us Daryl Ray. I don't care what it costs.
Is he even that, like?
But coaches? That's in.
Does it matter?
I don't know. He was. I haven't heard from him in 20 years.
You're right. Whatever your fucking name is, Matt. He's in game. We're talking about studio analysts.
All I want. I don't even care who the person is. All I want is an honest someone who's going to look at the game honestly and tell you what's happening.
Grimson,
I know
does.
It's not going to happen. But
who does? Sure.
Okay, well then, fine. Sign him. I don't care.
They bring him in occasionally. Again, he's got better things to do. He's got a Juris Doctor. Goddamn it.
But I don't need to hear about how great things are or how great things could
Kang's
be.
Job.
Right.
Oh God, I hate it. He ruins the whole thing for me. He really sucks. Like I'd rather have that. I'd rather.
We
have
didn't know how
back,
good we
honestly.
Had it with Old Chuck. Didn't
I'm
we?
Serious. I would rather have him.
I mean, yeah. Not to be a stereotype here, but somebody with some fire and passion on that broadcast.
You know, it's
going to get pissed off about them being 31st every damn year.
If they hung on,
they're not paid to get. They're not paid to get pissed off at that though. Like that's the Pravda aspect of it.
Yeah,
right.
If they hung on to Olchek, but they stopped listening to him on front offices, you might have got some fire and brimstone then.
Oh, absolutely.
Or fire and whip brimstone, OB.
That's probably in a large part of why they didn't bring him back, Sam.
Right. We don't want this guy being honest on the broadcast.
Right, right. I mean, 31st again. Like, there's only so much that he can say, spin things before he realizes that he's going to sound stupid, and he's worried about ruining his national credibility. And he's not going to do that for a team that's not letting him sit in the room.
Pang has no such compunction.
Yeah, sit in the room and pound the table for certain guys.
I'd love to know who Eddie Olchek pounded the table for.
John Hayden.
Really?
That's why he's still in the Seattle
system.
He loved him.
He loved him. Is he?
Yep.
Yeah, there
Come
you
on.
Go.
No way.
Dead Come serious. On, no way.
Dead serious.
There you go.
As what? He still plays hockey?
Yeah.
Yep. He's going to turn the corner one of these years. You watch, days. Mister. 30-goal scorer.
Jesus.
He's going to be centering the fourth line with Ryan Green.
Yep. Three games with the Seattle Kraken, and this year 67 with the Coachella Valley Firebirds.
Fun place to play.
All right.
He's 31 years old.
Any day now.
He's going to figure it out. He just needs the right line mates.
Don't we all? Because this clearly isn't working for any of us. All right. Well, that was your draft, post-draft podcast. Whatever. I hope you enjoyed it, whatever it was. I'm not exactly sure when we'll be back. Don't know that it'll be next week. I tend to doubt it, but we'll see.
No, I think we'll probably be back for the second best show of the year.
Depending on what it is. We can't wait too long for it.
Okay, okay.
The kids like having us around. I don't know why, but they do. And
We'll have Andrew call Roger and see if we can get the schedule release pushed up a little bit.
You know, he carries major influence.
I know he does.
Andrew Cieslak.
Mm-hmm. Pretty big wheel down at the Cracker Factory.
Yeah, he's got pull.
There's a lot of water in this town. You don't draw shit, Lebowski.
For the massively drawing water, Andrew Cieslak and John and Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share, subscribe. Check out Slack on Monday nights, occasionally Wednesday nights, although not this Wednesday, I don't believe, on Wrestling Brain. Until next time, Top Guys out.